Well, let us turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, Mark's Gospel, and chapter 5. If you've lost the page, then it's page 1007. Mark's Gospel, and chapter 5. As you probably know from personal experience, it's easy to say something about someone, but it's much more difficult to back up or to substantiate what you've said about that person. And so, for example, you may accuse your neighbour of breaking into your house and stealing your laptop, but the police are not going to do anything about it unless you can back up your accusation. Unless you can substantiate your accusation with some form of evidence. And what is true of the bad things we say about people is also true of the good things that we say about them. In a world of fake news, we really do have to back up and substantiate even the good things that we say about people. A sports commentator can claim that Pep Guardiola is the second greatest football manager of all time. Of course, you all know who the greatest was, and that was Sir Alex Ferguson. But unless the sports commentator can provide some statistics about trophies won and leagues won and so on, then nobody is going to take his claim seriously. You need to back up. You need to substantiate what you say about someone, whether good or bad. And did you know that is precisely what Mark is doing in his book? As he begins his historical account, as we discovered in our first reading from Mark chapter 1, as he begins his historical account, he says this in chapter 1, verse 1, the very first sentence. He says, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Within the opening sentence of his book, Mark is already making a tremendous claim. A bold claim concerning Jesus. And that is, he's introducing him right from the very start of his book. He's introducing him as the Christ, the Son of God. And what he then immediately goes on to do is to back up that claim by telling us other people's testimony about Jesus. Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 1. You have the testimony of the Old Testament prophets. In verse 7, you have the testimony of John the Baptist. And then in verse 11, you have the testimony of God concerning Jesus. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Three different testimonies concerning Jesus, all of which back up Mark's claim that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And in response, you might be saying to yourself, ah, yes, but David, that's all very well. But it's still what people are saying about Jesus. Can't we have some more substantial evidence that objectively backs up what Mark and all the others are saying about Jesus? Well, that is precisely what Mark goes on to do. And he does so by recording over the coming few chapters. He records a number of incidents which demonstrates the power and the authority that Jesus possessed. A power and an authority that points to Jesus being who Mark and all the others have said in chapter 1 that he is. For example, later in chapter 1, he records various occasions when Jesus demonstrates his authority over sickness and disease. At the start of chapter 2, he records an incident where Jesus demonstrates the authority to forgive sins. At the close of chapter 4, he records an incident where Jesus demonstrates his authority over nature. In the second half of chapter 5, there is an incident which demonstrates Jesus' power and authority over death. But before you get to that one, there is in the first half of chapter 5 an account which demonstrates Jesus' authority over something else. Which brings me to my first point this morning, and that is in verses 1 to 5 of chapter 5, and there we see the reality of evil. The reality of evil. From as far back as Genesis chapter 3, the Bible makes it clear that there is such a thing as the devil. It was he who tempted the first man and woman to sin in the Garden of Eden, and ever since then he has been active in this world. His influence in this world is exercised through a vast array of spiritual forces and evil powers and demonic spirits. And it is some of those spirits that Jesus encounters at the start of Mark chapter 5. Having miraculously calmed that raging storm at the close of chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples continued on their journey across Lake Galilee, arriving eventually on the other side, and the region is called the region of the Gerasenes. And verse 2 tells us that when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, the graves. The influence of evil upon this man has led to him living a life of isolation, living at a distance from everyone else in the community, living in the tombs outside the village rather than living in a house inside the village. It has led to a life not only of isolation, it has led to a life of irrational and erratic and uncontrollable behavior. Verse 4 tells us he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to control him. And it seems that he wasn't able to control himself either. Verse 5 says, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. His behavior is destructive, and he is destroying himself as much as anyone else. Those are the effects of evil on this man's life, and I'm sure you will agree that it has led to a very sad, a very lonely, and a very destructive existence. Terribly sad. But the interesting thing is, this is not the first time in Mark's gospel that Jesus has encountered someone who has been under the influence of an evil spirit. And back in chapter 1, verse 21, you read of another occasion where Jesus encounters a man with an evil spirit. But that one occurred within the Galilean town of Capernaum and occurred within the synagogue of all places. That encounter occurred within a thoroughly Jewish context, whereas this one in chapter 5 has occurred within a thoroughly Gentile context, and we know that because pig farming appears to have been big business here. That tells you that it's a thoroughly Gentile area. And the fact that we have Jesus encountering such spirits in both Jewish and Gentile situations indicates that the problem of evil is not confined to people of a particular nationality or ethnic background. Instead, it is a problem which appears in people of all nationalities and in societies of all description. Yes, in some societies, its presence may be more obvious than others. For example, manifestations of evil, such as we have described here in Mark chapter 5, would be much rarer in our modern Western secular so-called sophisticated societies. And yet that is not to say that evil is any less prevalent in our part of the world than it is elsewhere. The difference in our part of the world is that it just appears in different ways and in different forms. The devil is not stupid, and he can adapt his strategy to suit the situation. As one author says, why would he manifest himself through possession here in our Western society when he already can slither about without recognition? In one type of society, he may choose to work one way, and in another type of society, he may choose to work another way. And yet, whatever the social or cultural context, you can be sure that he is at work in some way. For example, as we heard Mark describe the isolation and the uncontrollable behaviour which the presence of evil caused in this man's life, did those effects sound familiar to you this morning? Can you think of other ways in which the devil achieves the same goals within our society today? Lives and families and communities continue to be torn apart by a variety of evil influences, the result being that some people end up living very lonely and isolated lives, just as this man was. The ever-increasing abuse of drink and drugs and other substances leads to unreasonable and irrational and uncontrollable behaviour, being an increasingly common feature of life in our Western societies. 2,000 years on, and the lives of individuals and families and communities continue to be disrupted and destroyed by the forces of evil, just as they were in Jesus' day. 2,000 years on, and the devil is still very much active. And as some of us were reminded yesterday, Paul tells us in the opening verses of Ephesians 2, and just